AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Friday. Good Friday to you. I hope you're having a good day out there. A lot of Democrats heading on down towards Rochester, and we shall head on down that way as well, as our Democrat of the day is down in Rochester. Richard Painter is running for the DFL nomination, as he wants to be the candidate for the Senate position currently held by Tina Smith. He is kind enough today to join us and talk about his campaign. Mr. Painter, thank you very much for the time.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure, sir. You are down in Rochester. How is the reception down there so far?
So far, so good. I've been here about 3 hours or so talking to voters and volunteers and delegates, all alternate delegates, everybody. And people want to have a conversation about the issues. And there's a lot of passion here.
Let's, with all the Democrats of the day, I always like to give you an opportunity to introduce yourself to the listeners. Who exactly is Richard Painter?
Well, I am a professor at the University of Minnesota Law School. I've been here since 2007, and I've been in law teaching since 1993. I grew up in central Illinois in Champaign County, and indeed was a Republican for a very long time. Many of us were Republicans downstate Illinois. We didn't like the Cook County machine run by Mayor Daley. I'm certainly a lot more progressive in my views than a lot of Republicans, and I found out how ill-suited I was for the Republican Party during the time I was the chief ethics lawyer for the Bush White House. I tried to keep most of them out of jail. It was an interesting experience. I came here to Minnesota, and I became involved in the effort to oppose the marriage amendment and various other crazy ideas that were mostly coming from the Republican Party. So I've been thinking seriously about a party switch for a long time. And then, of course, along comes Donald Trump. And, well, you don't want me to go into that. I go on all afternoon about how crazy he is.
You know, and let's focus on that, if we could, for a second, sir, because I think for most Democrats out there, I think your story is very understandable. You were a moderate Republican. Heck, I was probably more of a moderate Republican back in the 80s when moderate Republicans were not insane, or the Republican Party wasn't insane. The moderate Republicans had some very liberal issues. I remember that, and we used to have some decent discussions. The party has gone way off to the far right. We can understand that, you know, a person like yourself, it feels abandoned by the party, but there are a lot of people that ask the question, you know, are you truly a Democrat at this point, or are you just trying to find a path into the government, a government position?
Well, I've got a great government position at the University of Minnesota teaching law and government ethics. There are issues I feel passionately about. Many of you would describe my positions as progressive. But I hope to talk about the issues. I think we ought to have single-payer health insurance. A lot of small business owners I talk to around the state and elsewhere also feel we ought to have single-payer health insurance. The current health care system is strangling small business and, of course, leaving many families uninsured. So that's an issue I care a lot about. And I would sign on to Senator Bernie Sanders' bill on that. I also think we need to do something about environmental protection, global warming, climate change, have a carbon tax. That makes sense. I think a lot of people of all different political persuasions ought to be persuaded that we need to conserve the environment and that a carbon tax makes sense. We ought to subsidize clean energy and get the United States back into the Paris Accord. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump, of course, has done exactly the opposite, which makes no sense at all. Here at home, this idea that we can do copper nickel mining, sulfide mining in Minnesota is nuts. We're going to end up polluting our waterways. I've got to say, I'm very disappointed that a lot of people in the Democratic Farmer Labor Party say they support this Polymet mine that's owned by a bunch of billionaires from Europe with some Russian oligarchs thrown in. And these people, when I looked into it, they have a terrible environmental record all over the world. And why are we letting them into our state and trying to orchestrate land swap deals in the United States Senate? So what's interesting to me is we have a DFL establishment that is a lot more reactionary in many respects than the general population in Minnesota. I think 70% of Minnesotans oppose those mines.
Mm-hmm. They do, and I'm going to jump on board with this too. I was extremely disappointed when I saw DFLers voting along with these Republican water standard bills, where they're basically saying we're willing to wipe out the entire wild rice crop of the state of Minnesota to basically make sure the nitrate levels in water can suit this definitively polluting mine that they want to put in there. That's the whole purpose of these water standards. They're trying to loosen the water standards is because they want to get this mine in there. And the only way they can do that is to basically make polluting legal in, to a point where we can wipe out the wild rice crops. I think that's incredibly short-sighted for especially one mine that basically is going to pollute the living daylights out of northern Minnesota.
It's a terrible idea. That's a Polymet Glencore. And everyone who cares about that issue ought to research on the internet who Glencore is. And it's a company that has had a crooked history for decades. They've got Russian oligarchs in there, British playboy, some Paul Manafort's clients. And they hired as chairman Tony Hayward, who came out of British Petroleum, who was responsible for the handling of the Deepwater Horizon disaster. And he then got he got fired there, and that Rothschild brought him in over at Glencore after some Iraqi oil deals they did together. These people should not be involved in mining in Minnesota, and I'm shocked that any senators or members of Congress or governors of any party that represents the people of this state would let them anywhere near our waterways.
You talk about clean water, you talk about single-payer health care, you talk about carbon tax. These were, at one point, Republican issues. I mean, Mitt Romney, quite famously, was the Republican who put single-payer in Massachusetts. Carbon tax was something that the Republicans liked as opposed to other regulatory elements here. The question I have to ask is this just a sign of how far this country has moved to the right? Is the fact that you at one point were considered a Republican, but now fall well within the parameters of the Democratic Party?
Well, it is. And I think it's very unfortunate, the Democrat Farmer Labor Party, to have leaders who not only support these sulfide mines, but won't take a position on health care that contradicts the wishes of the medical device companies. And that's another battle I'm going to have here tonight, that the medical device companies think they run this state, that they run the political parties, and they strongly oppose single-payer health insurance. Why? Because they could charge a lot more for their products in the United States than they cost in Canada and in Europe. And it's the same thing the drug companies are doing, and they also oppose single-payer. And the medical device companies have persuaded our delegation, both political parties, to oppose the medical device tax. It was put into the Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, in order to try to recoup some of those monopoly profits that they've been earning. I just think that's categorically wrong. And I also have urged Senator Smith to sell. She has millions of dollars worth of stock at medical device companies. And the members of Congress need to divest in their own personal portfolios that are full of healthcare stocks or energy stocks or whatever it is. They create conflicts of interest. But bottom line is I'm going to stand up against vested interests that are trying to influence our politicians of any political party, whether it's through PACs or super PACs. I will not take any PAC money, by the way. I don't want it anywhere near my campaign. I think the whole PAC system's disgusting. And or the personal portfolios of the members of Congress. I'm fed up with it. And that's what I'm going to be fighting for is having elected members of the House and Senate and the state legislature and the governor who are responsible to the people, not to the vested interest.
You know, Richard Painter, by the way, is joining us, Democrat of the Day. He's running to get the DFL nomination to run for Senate here, the seat currently held by Tina Smith. One of the things I find interesting about your campaign is you don't mix words when it comes to Trump, that you feel the House and the Senate should begin an impeachment process for the president immediately. I agree wholeheartedly, for goodness sakes. There's definitely enough evidence. He's admitted collusion in firing Comey because of the Russian investigation. So, obstruction of justice, he's admitted to crimes. I agree with you, but there still is a element of the Democratic Party who is like, don't say anything about this. I'm going to be fascinated to see how that issue is received, because I think there's a lot of Democrats who are like, okay, no, at this point and any other time in history, this president would be gone. And yet we still, our own party, who's the opposition party, is still trying to make defense for him and give him cover.
Well, I think people are scared to take it on. And so we've had the members of the House and Senate say, well, they want to try and collaborate with President Trump whenever that's possible. And, you know, they want to just work deals and they don't want to take him on. And they just look like a bunch of wimps when they do that. I'm old enough to remember when I was 12 years old, and the House and the Senate Judiciary Committees convened hearings to address the abuses in the Nixon administration. I still remember Peter Rodino in the House and Sam Ervin over in the Senate, and they meant business in dealing with Nixon. But right now, everyone appears to be spineless. And what's the point of voting for Democrats in November if all they're going to do is tolerate Trump and bring sulfide mining into Minnesota and not put in single-payer health care because it's going to offend Medtronic? I mean, this is not going to appeal to voters, that kind of a platform. You've got to have clear values you're going to stand for, stand with the people, and stand up against the president who is abusing his power and violating the Constitution. And by the way, you got to throw Mike Pence in there, too. We know that he has had very inconsistent stories about his knowledge of what was going on with the Russians, and he could have some other very serious problems, and we need someone on the House and the Senate Judiciary Committee. And I would ask to be on that Senate Judiciary Committee if I win this election. You know, who are going to ask the tough questions and make sure that Vice President Pence is held accountable, too.
That is two buses. We just the president and the vice president. I'm all aboard.
Well, we did that back in 73, 74. They got rid of Agnew first, and then they dumped Nixon.
Well, and they're absolutely, you can make a fine argument there. There's multiple other people, too, that should be going that way. Your platform definitely does seem Democrat. As you go into Rochester here this weekend and the endorsement convention here, you know, is your game plan, I think this race is one of the tightest races. I think it definitely is going to be very close on who gets the endorsement. Is your plan, regardless, that you're going to go to the primary?
Oh, yes. I think that's critically important to have a primary. So the voters get to decide. If the voters don't feel they've had a voice in the primary, that everything's just been worked out at the convention, then what happens come November, the voters in a very upset mood, thinking everything's rigged. And it is rigged if you don't have a robust primary with debates, by the way. I challenged Senator Smith to a debate, and we need to have a couple of debates, and put them up on the Internet so people can watch those. But if you don't have a robust primary and voters feeling they had a voice in deciding who the nominees are, the two parties, you get a lot of unhappy voters in November, and that's not where you want to be.
And I agree with you. And I think that, you know, you definitely do bring to the table a difference of stances when it comes to compared to Senator Smith, Senator Smith right now. And one of the ones that I got to be honest with you, I'm quite bothered by, is that she seems to be very much for these tariffs that they want to put in, which is starting a trade war, which, let's be blunt, it's going to devastate and cavitate our ag markets first, and then go after the rest of this economy, and we won't be able to recover from a pretty heavy-duty trade war for 20 years.
Yeah, I think what's going on there is it started with President Trump wanted to win a congressional seat out there in western Pennsylvania, and so he throws out those steel tariffs. And then a bunch of Democratic senators from states with a powerful steel industry, in our case the iron industry, thought they ought to, you know, say that's a good idea. And I think that was trying to appeal to the iron workers unions and the iron mining unions and the steel workers unions. I think it's extremely short-sighted to do that. We know that there is some illegal dumping of steel in the United States, and we need to perhaps subsidize our own steel industry. And the ways to do that, probably to quietly do that, because the Chinese are dealing with that. But what we don't need is a loudmouth in the White House who is talking about trade wars. And that's exactly what Trump did, purely for political show. And so it's very embarrassed to see Senator Smith sort of greet that with enthusiasm. It's a lot of noise from President Trump. He's trying to start a trade war. It is going to get out of hand. And the Chinese are already retaliating against agriculture, including soybeans, going to destroy the agricultural economy throughout the United States and in Minnesota. And then the next thing you know, it spills over to manufactured goods and could take down the entire economy, including the iron mining. You know, the last Republican president to try this trade war approach to the economy was Herbert Hoover, and that didn't work out very well. I think this is potentially catastrophic. So, you know, Senator Smith should not have taken that bait. I wouldn't cheer Donald Trump on in anything he does other than possibly his resignation. But this is really one of the worst decisions that President Trump has made, these steel tariffs.
I agree wholeheartedly. You can't cut off your nose to spite your face. And the short-sighted nature of these steel tariffs, when you're looking at the potential destruction of our economy, starting with the ag sector, just to basically win a few political points, I'm all for a strong steel sector. I really am. And I think you're right. You can subsidize that market quite a bit locally and give incentives for Americans to use American steel. That's a great idea. But, you know, to do this, I mean, this idea that we're going to be able to impose tariffs on other countries and they're not going to retaliate with the gusto is so short-sighted and, frankly, ignorant. I can't comprehend who's even encouraging this kind of mentality on a trade war.
No, it's a terrible idea. And say that when you egg Trump on, you give him any kind of support on anything, the way Senator Smith did on that, what he does is he thinks he's got a license to do even more of it. And before you know it, just that very week, he was mouthing off about trade wars against European cars and everything. He's completely out of control. So I wouldn't encourage him on any of these temper tantrums or whatever other show he wants to put on.
You are in Rochester, the convention this weekend in Rochester for the DFL. I will encourage people once again, if you would like to find out more about Richard Painter and his campaign for Senate, you can go to painterminnesota.com, and that's correct?
Yes, that is. Absolutely. Or by Twitter page, too. I go after every crazy Trump idea and a number of other things on my Twitter page there.
PainterMinnesota.com. Volunteer, donate if you can. Once again, he's not taking PAC money, so any donations will help out. And, of course, door knockers are definitely needed as we get into the summer months here. Richard Painter, all my best in Rochester, and we will hopefully talk to you before too long.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Richard Painter, Democrat of the day, running for the U.S. Senate seat that is currently held by Tina Smith. We'll talk a little bit more about that when we do return. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Time to get fired up, Minnesota, and your grill specialists at Warner's Deli have just what you need. A smoking hot deal on a new gas, charcoal, or pellet grill makes this summer season one to remember. For a limited time, Warner's Deli offers free assembly done right by our specialists, free delivery, free recycling, and three free products from no-name butcher quality meats and seafood. Get a great deal on a grill from Minnesota specialists at Warner's Deli.
I'm Steve Conklin.
And I'm Jake DeRoff.
We're the hosts of the Mortgage Talk Show, Sundays at 12:30.
Steve, what are we going to talk about this week?
This week we'll be talking about the repeal of Dodd-Frank. What's this mean and how does it affect you? We'll also be taking listeners' questions. What do you do if you don't have a down payment? And talking about our new Dockless Loan Program.
Check us out for more information and email us any questions at mortgagetalkshow.com.
Tune in to the Mortgage Talk Show every Sunday at 12:30 on AM 950.
The 4th Annual Minneapolis St. Paul Mini Maker Faire is a festival of creativity showcasing the projects of local builders, scientists, gamers, artists, and makers. The Makers Faire is on June 2nd from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. at the Minnesota State Fair Grandstand. Curious about robots? We've got them. Want to learn how to carve wood or weld? Covered. Feel an urge to upcycle odd materials into art? Get inspired. Explore electricity, ride a human-powered Ferris wheel, and discover local resources for makers of all kinds. It's a great day of family fun with interactive exhibits and to maker demonstrations appropriate for all ages, including a special make-and-take area for kids. Plus, there will be live music, street performers, and presentations. The Minneapolis St. Paul Mini Maker Fair is June 2nd from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds Grandstand. Discounted tickets available at msp.makerfair.com. That's msp.makerfair.com. FAIRE.com. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram for maker profiles and updates on what to see at this year's fair.
Prairie Oaks Memorial Eco Gardens is the first green cemetery in Minnesota. It's a beautiful, peaceful place where burials are celebrations of life with as little impact on the environment as possible. Tony Weber founded it because he wants to leave a green legacy for his grandchildren, something many of us might feel. Learn more, visit the website mngreengraves.com. Give them a call. The goal is so meaningful, so positive, it might be right for you. Prairie Oaks Memorial Eco Gardens.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Eric, I'm going to ask you straightforward. What did you just think of Richard Painter there?
I don't know. He's supposed to be a centrist?
Well, I think he does. I would say that it's an interesting cat because you want to know the truth is, I really too believe this guy is an old school 80s Republican. Because the 80s Republicans I remember were fiscally conservative. They did base, but that was a different word. It's not what the Republicans are today, where it's basically give every tax dollar to every wealthy person and make the middle and lower class pay for it. It was, I just believe the government should tax us a little bit less than they do. Democrats believe that they should tax us a little bit more and supply services. I mean, that was the argument. But my God, I mean, I used to know Republicans who would give you arguments, better environmental arguments than anyone I knew. And, you know, so I don't believe this guy is somehow in any way dishonest. I think this is really who the guy is. And when you talk about stuff like single payer and carbon tax, those were Republican initiatives. There is definitively an element of this country that has moved far to the right that is basically making him part of the DFL now. And it is interesting. I will say, by the way, I'm getting... the comments on the, you can watch us on Facebook. Hello, Facebook. If you go to Facebook, go to AM950 Radio. You can watch the show. We stream it there. Lisa, I too believe that the impeachment process should always be on the table for this president. I agree with the, I wholeheartedly agree with that. And, you know, it's kind of one of those things where this has been, what else do you need to see from this president to not have impeachment on the table? For God's sakes, we have basically got most of his inner circle on connections to the Russians. We have a tape from Spain now where Russian oligarchs are talking to criminals about Trump Jr. right before they meet with them at the NRA. We know the Russians funneled money through the NRA. We know Russians. We know all this. He himself has said, he said in an NBC interview, yep, I fired James Comey because of the Russian investigation. That is a textbook statement, I obstructed justice. For any Democrat who's just, I don't want them making fun, for God's sakes, grow a spine. Throw the guy out. He should not be there. At any other time in this history of this country, this would have ended a year ago, at least. And he's right. Pence would be out the door right behind him. Instead, it's, I don't want them, do you? It's so bad. It's collusion with Russia. If you don't set the standard now, then you're just asking for the floodgates to open up. I don't know. I will say two things about this, what's going on in Rochester here. First of all, Painter is, of all the candidates I've talked to who are still running against someone else, he is probably the most critical of his DFL opponent than any of them. I've talked to Rebecca Otto, Aaron Murphy, and Tim Walz. All of them are actually quite cordial towards each other. It's actually quite nice. He is very pointed. And the reason why is because obviously he's wanting to make a name for himself. There are a lot of people who are Tina Smith supporters I have talked to. And by the way, for the record, I did invite Tina Smith on the air as Democrat of the Day. Have not even heard back from her campaign. What can I do? I mean, I asked her 3 weeks ago. I asked her 3 weeks ago and I haven't heard anything back. I asked him this morning at 8 o'clock. He said, sure, I'll be there. What time? So, I mean, I've got the invite. The invite's always going to be open for Senator Smith by all means to come on this show. But if, in case anyone's asking, no, I did ask. Actually, I asked Senator Smith before I asked Richard Painter if he wants to come on the air. But regardless, I would make an argument that Tina Smith, has always been a very strong candidate in my mind. My God, she's a U.S. senator. She should be. As a Senate candidate goes, well, she's already a senator. Well, that means she's qualified for the gig. So I think we can always say that. Painter today convinced me that if he's the nominee as well, I am very comfortable in putting my weight behind him as a Democrat, as a DFLer, to vote for him to be the Senate seat. I am very comfortable with either one of them. And when this endorsement convention is over, there's going to be a lot of people who were endorsed screaming that the people that weren't endorsed need to get out because it's sour grapes. No, he's exactly right. We have a primary process. We don't have a room full of people basically picking who our nominees are. We have a process here which takes us to a vote where the party faithful get to choose who is the candidate. And that is an important element of our democracy. And if we do not honor that, well, we are going to be doomed. So regardless, I think it's good for the party. It's good for the system to have these debates. And the reality is we definitely need to go and whoever the nominee is. I will be voting for Tina Smith if she is the Senate nominee. I'll be voting for Richard Painter if he is the Senate nominee. I'll vote for Rebecca Otto or Aaron Murphy or Tim Walz if they are the governor nominee. Without a freaking doubt. And by the way, I think I can still call this now. Amy Klobuchar has won yet another term in the U.S. Senate over, seriously, Jim Neuberger, the racist representative from Becker? That's your candidate for Senate? Oh, wow. Will he get 30% of the vote even? I doubt it. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Come on back. We'll talk a question. Where in the world is Melania Trump? I'll talk about that when we come back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Hello, this is Ellen Krug from Hidden Edges Radio. When I'm not on the radio, I'm standing in front of audiences training about diversity and inclusion and on how to be welcoming to others who are different from us. More than ever, employers and organizations need professional diversity and inclusion training. I can offer that training through my company, Human Inspiration Works, LLC. I'd love to make your workplace or organization more welcoming. For more information, go to humaninspirationworks.com. Thank you.
Waking up is easy when you look forward to breakfast. Serve 7 days a week at the Downtowner Woodfire Grill in St. Paul. Try eggs your way with hash browns, bacon, or sausage. There are four delicious varieties of Eggs Benedict that should not be missed. And buttermilk pancakes, waffles, or French toast are always fresh off the griddle. How about a Bloody Mary or screwdriver from the bar? The Downtowner Woodfire Grill is located at 253 West 7th Street with plenty of free parking. Or online at downtownerwoodfire.com.
This is Chad, owner of AM950, here to tell you about Snap Construction. They're experts in roofing, siding, window, and insurance restoration. They have energy-efficient products available for both residential and commercial properties. This spring, when we needed a company to take a look at a problem with our roof, I called the company I knew I could trust, Snap Construction. I've known Ryan, the owner at Snap Construction, for years, so I knew I could trust him. Don't just take my word for it. Check out their reviews online. They are arguably the most well-reviewed exterior contractor online in the metro area. Over the years, Ryan has always said the same thing to me about his work. If we build it, shouldn't we be held accountable for the work indefinitely? He backed that statement up years ago when Snap Construction was a pioneer in offering a lifetime craftsmanship guarantee on all their work. For a free estimate or general questions, call the locally owned company AM950 Trusts Snap Construction at 612-333-SNAP. That's 612-333-SNAP, or find them online at snapconstruction.com. They have financing options available.
With your AM950 weather, this is Eric Nelson. Today will be mostly sunny with a high near 81. Tonight, a 40% chance of rain with lows around 59. Saturday, a chance of thunderstorms with a high near 70. Saturday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 54. Sunday, a high of 73 and a low around 55.
The Nicollet Island Inn restaurant has been open for 36 years, serving breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily for business, friends, or family. Ample parking on the only island on the Mississippi where you can dine and stay. Nicollet Island Inn, an historic hotel, restaurant, and bar on the island.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. To people who are saying Tim Walz hasn't come on the air, we had Tim Walz on last fall we had him on. I've got the invite out to him. They plan on trying to come on back. He's been on the air with us before. I'm not trying to dismiss Rebecca Otto or Aaron Murphy's schedule. They've both been very busy. Especially Aaron Murphy was just got done with session, but I accommodated her camp. They said, can we do it after session? I said, sure. I did Rebecca Otto a few weeks earlier. And, you know, Tim Walz is still a sitting U.S. congressman as he's running for governor. So his schedule is just a smidge more cluttered, to say the least. So, you know, he's got an invite coming back, and he's already been on the show. As a matter of fact, I think I've interviewed Tim four times over the 8+ years I've been on the air here at AM950. So he's I don't think is I don't think he's you know, he's afraid of coming on the air in any capacity. I will, to give the counterpoint on Painter here, Chris making a comment on the live stream. Painter is running as a Democrat to split the Democratic vote. Well, only way that would work is if you didn't vote for him, if he became the nominee. You know, I don't get the impression he's going to run as an independent. And I'll tell you what, if we get past the primary and he tries that, I will throw him. I'll throw him under the bus myself if he tries to pull that stunt. So, but, you know, I don't get the impression the only way that would happen is if people refuse to vote for him as the DFL nominee, and or else he decided to run as an independent. And right now it doesn't sound like he has any intention of doing that. As of right now, 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. But I'm just going to say this. I'm not going to play these damn games we played in 2016. You go back to listen to shows in 2015, late 2015 and early 2016, and you'd hear me come on the air and I'm like, is anyone else getting this stuff? Because this stuff is weird, man. Democrats who are screaming, I hate Hillary so much, I'm going to vote for Donald Trump because Hillary would be so worse. There is actually no physical way Hillary Clinton could be actually worse than Donald Trump. There isn't. I'm just going to vote for the DFL. And if the DFL as a party decides on these people are good enough, I am not going to go out and have my own little pity party and pout in the corner. I'm voting DFL because you know what? If we don't save this country this election, we're screwed. Period. Period. We're screwed. So get over your discontent that my candidate didn't win a primary or to get an endorsement. We have to unify. And if the DFL party as a whole endorses these guys, well, then ride that train all the way to November. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Speaking of impeachment, has anyone seen Melania Trump? Her last public appearance. Now, I'm going to bring this up under this guise. If Michelle Obama disappeared for 3 weeks, there would be congressional investigation. Well, there'd be a congressional investigation after the first week. Where's the first lady? Especially after, if like Trump did, is like, there she is. She's in the window. She's waving. Look how happy she is. No one could see her in there. That was kind of a twisted 70s horror movie, wasn't it? What in the window? What are you, the one behind the bars? What are you, is it Saw in there? What are you doing, man? If Michelle Obama had disappeared for a week, there would be a full congressional review. Even if she popped back up again, they'd still be like, where was she and what did she know and when did she know it? That sort of thing. I would make an argument if Laura Bush had disappeared for 3 weeks, we probably wouldn't have tolerated, oh yeah, she's just out. She's not around. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, if you say, oh, she's out visiting, her mom is sick, and so she's taking some mind. But okay, got it. No problem. That's not what we've heard from Donald Trump. It's nothing like, oh, there's a family member or anything like this. This is really weird. She disappeared. Now, so what has happened? She was last seen on the 10th. Right after that, she had what was called a kidney procedure where she spent 5 days in the hospital. Now, this actually set off some red flags because the experts in the field on this kidney procedure all said the same thing. Why is this taking 5 days? This is generally one, you know, and I do believe it was an overnight. It was a one-night hospital stay and you're done. It was fairly It was a fairly you know, kind of routine procedure. So, but they said five, and so fine. There was, you know, there's something we don't know about the first lady's health. That's perfectly fine. That's perfectly fine. So she had to stay there. But what ends up happening is she goes home and she's disappeared. She's disappeared. She's completely disappeared. And we have no idea where she's at. And I have seen some wild conspiracy theories about this. The one actually I think is the most likely is the one that's the most salacious. And that is that she confronted Trump on the Elliot Broidy thing. You've heard about the Elliot Broidy thing. Basically, Elliot Broidy is the guy that paid Michael Cohen to pay off a Playboy playmate that he allegedly had an affair with and got pregnant and they had an abortion. A lot of people are speculating, considering the review of the legal documents, that this wasn't Elliot Broidy having the affair with the Playboy playmate, that it was actually Donald Trump, and that Trump and Hugh Hefner in 2016, right at the time this affair happened, had a huge blowout, and Hefner basically wanted nothing to do with Trump after that point. And Hefner, the Playboy playmate, was a close personal friend, was actually an item with Hefner at one point, but was still close friends with Hefner. And that there are documents where it appears that Trump's name was on, you know, or aliases Trump has used was on this thing. And so the one rumor is that she confronted him on this, that he admitted it, and basically that was it. That they won't get divorced. I think that would be the first divorce. I mean, we had a president get widowed. Was it Chester A. Arthur? Got widowed, had his wife die in the White House. I can't remember. We've had a bachelor. We've had a few bachelors. Buchanan. Well, Buchanan was, a lot of people speculate he was the first gay president. Yeah, James Buchanan. There's a lot of people that speculate about that. You know, it's we don't know, but for sure. But there have been a few bachelors. I think there was one guy whose wife died while in office, and he got remarried, if I remember correctly. But, you know, there would never have been a divorce before. They're not going to get divorced because they don't want the embarrassment, but she's basically moved out. And there are some rumors that Secret Service has actually gotten new detailed tasks to go protect her in New York City, that she's moving back to New York City. I don't know. They're not going to be able to keep the lid on this forever. But the reality is this. Three weeks, and you still have not – we have no idea. I mean, there is a mysterious tweet that was put out on her Twitter account. Whoever wrote it is clearly writing the Trump tweets, because the verbology of both of those accounts is the same. So it could be Trump writing a tweet on Melania's account. I don't know. I mean, yo, Johnny Christian Values, what would you feel about the guy if all of a sudden his wife – oh, would that be a private matter we can't talk about? If all of a sudden his wife, after, I don't know, what, the 40th or 50th affair acknowledgement by the guy – finally said enough's enough, and I don't care if I'm the first lady, I'm not going to be here in the same house with you. We don't know. There's also some speculation. I've seen people speculate maybe she got cosmetic surgery, which would explain the longer hospital stay. There's also some people that are wondering if she's okay. Uh-oh. We'll have to talk more about that in a second. You're more than welcome to call in 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. When we come back, Mike McEntee is down in Rochester. Do they have a Pronto Pup stand at the Rochester? Give me your Pronto Pup, Mike. We'll chat with you down at the convention here in just a moment. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
A night out with Chelsea Handler, live this Tuesday at the State Theater.
I'm doing a tour where I go around to different places in this country and talk to people who have different opinions than me, because I want to learn more, I want to understand better, I want to have nice, healthy conversations with strangers who think differently.
A night of fun and interactive discussion with Chelsea, hosted by TV's Jenna Shortle.
What is the most important issue for all of you in this room? Is it foreign affairs? Is it legal immigration? Is it Dancing with the Stars?
Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster in the box office, sponsored by Delta and Twin Cities Pride.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
Hi, Matt McNeil for Rudy Luther Toyota. My first Toyota love was the RAV4 back in 1998. When I was traveling in February, I needed a rental car, and I jumped at the opportunity to drive one again. The RAV4 is fantastic with all the bells and whistles you need, and it has all the modern safety features to keep us safe, comfort as we vacationed. It fit all five of us and our luggage with ease. I was able to revisit my first love. Now, you can fall in love for yourself by test driving a RAV4 today at Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169.
Atheists Talk is the radio show for free-thinking Minnesotans. Listen on Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock. Every Sunday, we bring you science, philosophy, politics, and plain old fun from an atheist's point of view. Visit our website at minnesotaatheists.org for more details. Tune in to Atheists Talk Radio Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock on KTNF AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's good radio without the good book.
Kevin Ross here, inviting you to our brand new store called Ambibulous. What does Ambibulous mean? It means one who enjoys alcoholic beverages of all sorts. Ambibulous is a Minnesota maker's market. Unlike traditional liquor stores, we feature only craft beer, wine, and spirits made here in Minnesota. We are ready to guide your selections, where you can build your own four or six packs. Find us at 949 Hennepin Avenue East in Northeast Minneapolis or online at ambibulousmn.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. I should mention programming brought to you by eatlocalminnesota.com. Restaurant of the week is all of them. That's right. We're featuring them all with the shortened Memorial Day week. Go to eatlocalminnesota.com. Find a great local restaurant. Many of them locally sourced. You get a great local meal and the money stays local. Eatlocalminnesota.com. Not local right now. Mike McEntee is joining us right now as he's down in Rochester for the fun, the pageantry that is the DFL convention. Hey, Mike, how are you?
I am crammed onto a small little platform with all the cameras who are interested. The media is interested to see what's going to happen here. Not so much tonight, but tomorrow night when they start endorsing for governor.
The I talked to Richard Painter there. Have you yourself seen a lot of the main heavy hitters that are running this year?
Yeah, actually, Richard Painter, I think, is going to join us during my show today. He's probably going to be on about 4:30. Everything's in flux here because everybody's running around. Ken Martin might be on as well, so... we're just going to try to get as many of the candidates and the heavy hitters here on the show as we can in the next hour.
The obviously this is there's a lot of weighing on this. You've got a governor's race with three major candidates running to get the endorsement. You're also have got a Senate race where of course Painter taking on Tina Smith, the current senator from the state of Minnesota. Any gauge on where that's going to go right now? Obviously you're seeing a lot of fans of each of the candidates show up.
Yeah, it's getting tighter on the governor's race. That's the big thing. You know, Aaron Murphy's been picking up more endorsements. Tim Walz, the Tim Walz campaign was out front of this at the very beginning. And it seems like, I haven't seen any hard delegate counts, but it seems like he will probably have more delegates. The question is whether he will get the magic 60%. And to do that, somebody's going to have to give them his delegates. Aaron Murphy or Rebecca Otto. And that might be cutting a deal. I don't know what it is, but I don't think, unless the deal is cut, I don't think anybody gets an endorsement coming out of this convention unless they go like forever. And then, whoever's left standing, whose ever delegates didn't go home because they're just so tired, wins.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that will go to, a two-way or three-way primary?
Oh, and if it goes to a primary, it's going to be a three-way primary. No doubt about it. And you might even see somebody else jump in, but I would suspect those are the main three you're going to see.
The other issue, of course, going to the Senate side, I mean, two candidates there. My guess is you are going to get an endorsement out of this convention point.
I don't think that's a question. I think despite Richard Painter getting a lot of traction with some Democrats, he's not going to get an endorsement from these folks here because he, up until just recently, he had an R behind his name. And these are folks who just don't trust that. Mm-hmm. And so I think Richard Painter, he's going to get to speak to the delegates. I think that's the most interesting thing, or at least he's supposed to. When I asked him, or asked his campaign manager, when does he get to speak? He said, well, sometime during, but it seems like he's been slotted in, which is more than they gave Mark Dayton, remember. And Mark Dayton was not seeking the endorsement, but he was going to go right to the primary. Richard Painter here is at least a name seeking the endorsement, but has pretty much decided he's going to go to the primary.
Yeah, the one thing I will say is that, it is going to be interesting. From the conversation I just had with him, of all the people I've talked to, the most progressive was Tina Liebling down in Rochester. I don't know if you've run into her since you've been down there.
Not yet.
But Tina Liebling was by far the most progressive candidate I talked to of any candidate. But I would say, just going off the platform they're saying they're going to put forward, Rebecca Otto and Richard Painter are probably the next two most progressive candidates I've run into.
I think that's Richard Painter is definitely progressive when you listen to him on the issues. He's conservative, I think, on some fiscal things, but it's not to the point of, hey, let's make government so small we can drown it in the bathtub. He realizes that a lot of social issues that you do need to spend on, you do need to tackle things like that. So, like I said, he's gotten a lot of interest from a lot of the Indivisible folks, and I would not be surprised if he has, at least a 20% showing down here, but I can't see him going and getting 60% by any stretch of the imagination.
I wouldn't be surprised if he got up towards 30. I really wouldn't. I agree with you, but I think Tina Smith will probably end up getting the endorsement, but I think that I wouldn't be surprised if in just a short time that he's made up 30 points. I think it's going to – actually, I will make this argument. Painter's going to be closer to Tina Smith than Pawlenty will be to Jeff Johnson.
Well, Pawlenty's not even showing up. So
it's like
by the way, since you mentioned that, the Uptake is streaming the Republican convention. If you want to keep an eye on what the other guys are doing, I think Jason Lewis is speaking right now.
Yeah, no, don't do it, kids. Don't. It's it's syrup of Epicac for your head. So I want to mention this, Mike. I have actually, it's been an absolute privilege working with you. This is kind of your swan song here, correct?
Yeah, this is the last rodeo for me with AM950 as far as the show. Today's going to be the last show. We're going to do some updates, I think, over the weekend. But, yeah, this is it. I've got a day job that suddenly has become one that I am working 9 to 5, and it's hard to do a show at that point. So,
well, and, I mean, a lot of, I'll ask, the Uptake's still going to be going strong, though, correct?
The Uptake is still going to be wrong. We may be kind of cutting back here for a little while we kind of get reorganized, but the Uptake is going to be there. Definitely is going to be there when we get back to the legislative session this January. So.
All right. Well, Mike, it's been an absolute privilege working with you. It's I am the screaming howler monkey. You are the voice of reason and intelligence. And it's something that I'm going to miss listening to you in the afternoon. And I appreciate you being on the air with AM950 and all our best as you head on into other endeavors.
Well, Matt, thank you. Thank you for the kind words. It's always great to be with AM950 because everybody here I've been on and off the station, I think, here for 10 years. Everybody has treated me just wonderfully. The owners, and they support, there's nobody more progressive in the entire state broadcast-wise than AM950. So I really appreciated the support I've gotten.
Well, Mike McEntee down in Rochester, you're going to listen to him, his final show on AM950 coming up here at the top of the hour. Mike, thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
Okay, we'll see you, Matt.
Take care. And, can I just say this is about only the, fourth or fifth host that's left that I'm like, okay, and I'm still here. Wait a minute. Have you heard their show compared to mine? I'm basically, the howler monkey exhibit at the Minnesota Zoo. And they're, so much better than me, but, it's the Uptake's still going to be going. Make sure you check out Mike McEntee there. Stay with him for the show this afternoon. And then of course, can updates on theuptake.org. Julie is chiming in. She wanted to make a comment about, the where in the world is Melania Trump conversation we are having earlier. Hi, Julie.
Hi. See, that's a shock about Mike, but I'm glad the Uptake is keep going. Yeah, I tuned in kind of recently, but what I'm wondering is, where is their son? I mean, either he's been in school the last several weeks, he might be out now, but is he in D.C.? Has he been seen?
Here's the thing. I want to be very careful about it and make sure everyone, Julie, you're talking about this. We're not talking any kind of malicious nature about Barron. I'm not going to go down
about
that.
No, exactly.
But I'm just saying this because, Julie, people do get a little upset about this when you even mention this. Or what's the other Trump kid, the blonde haired girl that we don't ever see? Melanie?
Oh, yeah, I know what you mean.
Oh, yeah. I don't talk about them. They're out of the spotlight. They don't want to be part of the spotlight. That's fine. We don't talk about them in any kind of sense. But as far as you're right, I mean, he was there with him on the eclipse. I remember that. And I think it was the first Easter he was there. And the eclipse, and then you don't see him.
Well, he's been living there. He's been going to school in D.C., right?
I believe so. But I also know they spend a lot of time back in New York. That they've gone back to New York because, I mean, that's their home by all means, and they can enjoy it there. But he clearly, Barron is not, Trump's parenting style clearly is hands off. Look at Trump Jr. and Eric, for goodness sakes. You know, his parenting style is basically.
No, I feel for the kid, but I was just curious if they're getting separated, if he's going to be in the White House or if he's going to be permanently in New York.
Would you leave?
But, you know, she might have done a Jerry Hall, you know, after Nick's 450th affair. When he finally got a baby with a Brazilian model, he, you know, that was it for her, and she married Mr. Murdoch. But, we don't know. Yeah, I feel divided. I feel sorry for the woman. My sister's attitude is she knew what she was getting into. He was a sleazeball. She married him for the money. What could she expect? So people have different feelings.
I would say this, Julie, thank you very much. Would I ever leave Barron with Trump as a single dad? Oh, hell no. Even the cast of characters around him, Stephen Miller, Jared, Eric. Oh, dear God. I mean, you leave him with Trump Jr., he's going to be out in the woods wearing a plaid shirt posing on a stump. For God's sakes, you cannot leave Barron with them. If they are getting separated, and just judging by who exactly Donald Trump is, he doesn't want anything to do with his kids. I mean, that's just who he is. Ivanka is the only one because of, you know, whatever reason, you know, you have there. But, you know, he's not exactly handed down the genetic strong hand, has he? You know, it's as far as brain power. And so, no, if I was Melania Trump, there's no way in hell I would leave him at the White House with Donald Trump. There's just no way I would. No. I will say this. I mean, I just remember this. Remember right before the State of the Union address, right before Stormy Daniels was about to go on Jimmy Kimmel, someone in the White House went out there and released a fake letter from Stormy Daniels that it signed that basically said, this is all a lie, this is all make. That was a fake letter. Someone in the White House wrote up a fake letter, signed Stormy Daniels' name, and released it to the media saying, see, Stormy Daniels is denying this. That clearly had to be in a letter that was, without a doubt in my mind, Melania Trump said, unless I have a full confession, this was made up, I am not going to the State of the Union address. Someone likely ran into a press room, quickly typed up a letter, signed Stormy Daniels' name saying, see, we got a letter saying she denied it and we'll release it to the media. So she agreed to go to the State of the Union address, to which Stormy Daniels on Kimmel that night saying, I have no idea whose signature that is, but that's not my signature and I've never read that letter in my life. So the idea that this is somehow, you know, that wouldn't have been the straw that breaks the camel's back, for goodness sakes, of course it would have been. Of course it would have been, without a doubt. And I don't know. I mean, would you? I'll have to research it. I don't think anyone's gotten divorced in the White House, but has anyone gotten separated while in the White House? It'd be interesting to see. I'll have to read up about this. Mike Magnani up next. A great show there. Listen to his final show here on AM 950. That is coming up next. We are back on Monday. Have a good weekend. Until then, see ya.